Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY26 results conference call of Dhruv Consultancy Services Limited, hosted by Kirin Advisors Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this call is being recorded. With this, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harshil Ghanshyani. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes, thank you. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, I welcome you all to the Q1 FY26 conference call of Dhruv Consultancy Services Limited. From the management team, we have Mr. Pandurang Ganapathy, Chairman, Ms. Tanvi Otte, Managing Director. Now, I hand over the call to Ms. Tanvi Otte for the opening remarks. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Harshil. Good evening, esteemed ladies and gentlemen. I extend a warm welcome to each one of you who have joined today for Dhruv Consultancy's investor call, where we will discuss the financial results for the first quarter of fiscal year 2026. Your continued interest and engagement in our company's performance are truly appreciated. During this session, we will provide an overview of our Q1 FY26 financials. We will highlight our achievements, our strategic developments, and the growth outlook. But before we delve into the numbers, let us take a moment to reflect on our progress and the milestones that have set the tone for the year ahead. The company was founded in 2003, headquartered in Navi Mumbai. Dhruv Consultancy has grown into a leading name in the infrastructure consultancy, offering end-to-end services that include design, engineering, procurement, construction, and project management. Our expertise spans detailed project reports, feasibility studies, operation and maintenance works, and technical structural audits, positioning us as a trusted partner for complex infrastructure initiatives both in India and internationally. Quarter one FY26 began on a strong note, marked by strategic wins and operational progress. This quarter, we made a notable entry into the international private sector with our first project in Saudi Arabia, a move aligned with the Vision 2030 of KSA. This is a testament to our technical expertise on a global stage. In India, we strengthened our presence in core infrastructure consulting with major wins in railway and expressway projects, including a 1.94 crore detailed engineering contract under the Sagarmala initiative by IPRRCL, and the Jhansi Expressway and the Bundelkhand Ganga Expressway extension project for preparation of DPR by UPEDA. These achievements reflect our ability to expand both geographically and sectorally while maintaining our focus on operational excellence and timely project delivery. They also reinforce the resilience of our business model and our capacity to capture opportunities in high-growth sectors. Coming to our financial performance, for Q1 FY26, we reported a consolidated revenue of 21.4 crores with a year-on-year growth of 6.89%. EBITDA stood at 3.58 crore, marking a strong growth of 30.18%, with margins improving to 16.72% from 13.75% as against quarter one FY25. The net profit surged by 81% year-on-year to 1.6 crore, translating to a healthy margin of 7.46%. The diluted EPS also grew by 52% to 0.84. These results are a clear reflection of our consistent execution, cost efficiency, and strategic project diversification, both in terms of geography and sector. They lay a robust foundation for the remainder of the financial year. Before we move to the interactive segment, I would like to express my sincere gratitude to our stakeholders for their unwavering support, trust, and confidence in our vision. Their belief in our capabilities continues to inspire us, push us to our boundaries, and deliver excellence. With this, I invite you all for the Q&A session. Your thoughts and questions are of great value to us, and thank you once again for your presence and continued encouragement. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question comes from the line of Thomas Jones, from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening. I just wanted to know, with regards to these projects now, I know that we were in line for some international orders. Can you give me an update on them? Have you received anything apart from the Saudi Arabia one? What is the status of it?
Yeah, at present we are working on the Saudi Arabia project. We are working in Mozambique right now. We have just received our work permit last week, and we have opened a branch office there in the name of Dhruv Consultancy. So now once the work permit is there, further orders would come in. We are presently also, we have submitted EOI and have been shortlisted in Ghana, in Zambia, in Tanzania, in Nigeria. Also, a few Middle East private sector assignments in UAE as well. So once the orders are there, we would inform our investors first. We are also deploying a business development team in Vietnam. Recently, we had sent a delegation there. And in Vietnam, the JICA fund, there is a lot of JICA funding that is happening there for infrastructure projects, a lot of expressways coming up. So with the efforts of our business development team, we are hopeful of getting JICA funded projects there as well.
Okay. So just to help me understand this, now what would be the order size of some of these projects? Now, because typically in the presentation, what I'm seeing currently, everything is in the 2 to 6 crore range, but then the Saudi one is around 18 crores. So can you expect orders that can go beyond that to maybe 25, 30, 40 crores? Is that possible?
Yeah, it can go up to 100 crores also. There are a few bids that are submitted to the tune of 100 crores also. So even a single order of 100 crores can be expected from the international market.
Okay,
it is a big range. It is from 3, 4, 5 crores to 100, 150 crores also we have bidded.
And you are also bidding for those 100 crore projects?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And we qualify.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, and you qualify for it. Okay, yes. Great. I just have a few more questions if I can.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Okay. So the thing is, we've been hearing about these international orders for a while, Mozambique and all, but nothing has come around. I mean, I think I've been hearing about it since the last 3-4 quarters,
yes.
And it's still in that very stuck stage. Is there a reason why it's delayed?
The reason is an instability in these countries, because our main market is Africa, okay? So Africa, if you see, like we have heard all over the world, so there are no roads as such. So when we talk about an 8-lane or 10-lane expressway in India, a 2-lane or a single lane road is also an expressway in Africa. So the condition is that the population is very less, the need is very less, but there's a lot of funding that is happening there. But due to so sometimes what happens that once the government decides to do a project and when the person is actually appointed, the turnaround time is quite slow. It goes up to 2 years or so. So the projects that we are getting or being shortlisted right now, we had submitted those tenders in somewhere in start of 2023.
Okay.
So it's a slow process, but yes, the margins are pretty good. That is why, and once the orders start flowing in, like we just got a work permit last week in Mozambique. So now taking up local opportunities also would be a good thing, because then the transactions and the taxation also eases out.
Evens up, okay.
Yeah.
And so just a question. I mean, I was recently listening to an interview with Vivek Oberoi, where he was talking about a company called Pentagon. I believe they're also in the same consultancy services like you, and he was talking about how they incorporate AI, and they're working on the largest sea bridge construction that's happening right now. So do you use this AI, and you know, what are your views on this peer of yours, this Pentagon consultant?
So at present, I don't know what the other company does, but I can speak about what we do in AI as an infrastructure consultant. So first thing is our surveys. So the geotechnical investigation reports, then there is traffic surveys that is happening. We have an network survey vehicle which actually scans the road and identifies depths. So all these surveys and investigations are AI driven, and it generates reports through artificial intelligence. Secondly, design proof checking. So whenever as an authority engineer or as an independent engineer, drawings are sent to us by the contractor to verify and to check. So it was taking somewhere about 15 to 20 days for one drawing to be evaluated, whereas AI does it in 5 minutes. So we have that facility now. So we can take up more projects in less number of staff. Thirdly, there for DPR preparation, we have estimation, costing, rate analysis to be done, and that is also AI driven.
Just a few more. So you were saying the Vietnam is looking really big, right? You're looking at some giga projects. What exactly are you looking at? Can you give? Can you elaborate on some of the projects?
So in Vietnam, what is happening is there is a lot of Chinese influence that is there in Vietnam. So it is a bit difficult to penetrate unless you actually have a presence there. So in Vietnam, there are two sectors that we are targeting. One is the highway sector, that is construction of expressways. So between two towns, say even if you say a Hanoi or a Hanoi to Halong Bay, if you go, the connectivity is good right now, but there are no networks, there are no wayside amenities that are being developed. So those roads are being developed to expressway standards. So the geography is very large for Vietnam. So the road, people prefer traveling by air, people prefer traveling by railway there, but the road connectivity is not so good. So with better alignment, with better amenities alongside the roads, I think that that development is taking place.
Okay. And these, again, these orders are, maybe you're saying about 20, 30 crores in that range, right?
It ranges from 5 CR. So depending on what type of service they are expecting from us, we can offer services ranging from 5 CR to 100 CR.
Oh, even there also, even in Vietnam.
Right.
And then one last question. Now, apart from roads, you were also looking at airports.
Other
sectors. So maybe, can you elaborate? Because when I looked at the presentation that you showed, I'm only seeing more of highways and the roads. So can you maybe give us what exactly is happening with the other sectors?
Highways, we are predominant, and highways will remain dominant even going ahead, because the connectivity that the highway sector offers, no other sector will offer. Okay, so going ahead also, highway is going to remain as prime area of focus. But yes, we are increasing the other sector order book as well. With respect to railways, we are presently working on 3 projects. One for the Western Railway in Rajasthan, one for Southern Railway in Tamil Nadu, and one in Jhansi, the Eastern Railway. So there are 3 projects that are going on. One we are working as a general consultant, one as a PMC, and one we are preparing a DPR. Next is the metro sector. We are already working for 4 lines for multimodal logistics development in the MMRDA Mumbai Metro. Coming to the airport sector, we have recently we have recently appointed a head for our airports and urban infra sector, who is an ex-government officer from the airport sector, and it is connects we are developing a team of airports, ropeways, and urban infra under him. So if you must have heard in the news that Kedarnath ropeway, then there is Vaishno Devi ropeway, in Maharashtra there are many ropeway projects coming up. So recently we have submitted our bids for 7 to 8 ropeway projects in state as well as central government. Airports, we have submitted 3 to 4 bids as a DPR and as a PMC consultant. The good thing about these two, why these two sectors, the good thing is there's no competition as such. Only hardly one or two bidders are coming for these airports. There are no consultants, and foreign consultants cannot easily penetrate here. They need to have a local consultant with them. So with the help of their technology, we are tying up with a few companies in Austria for the ropeway sector. And for airport sector, we are in talks with a few US companies wherein we form a synergy and we are bidding for these airport projects. So at present, 3 bids for airports and around 7 to 8 bids for ropeways have also been submitted. And we can expect the result in the Q2.
Okay. And is there any, when it comes to Indian, is there any seasonality when it comes to orders? Do you expect more in the first half of the year, or Q2, Q3, is that it typically picks up?
Orders pick up at the end of Q2, September, October, and revenue flow comes in maximum revenue comes in Q3, Q4. That has been our trend for the past 22 years.
Oh, okay. Okay. So revenue, how does it work? As the construction gets completed, you get a percentage on completion basis?
No. So it depends on the service. If it's a DPR project, then the revenue recognition is milestone based. And if it's a PMC project, it is monthly. But what happens is if there are monsoons, then it is difficult to carry out surveys and investigations. So hence, there is a few delay when it comes to monsoon in terms of revenue recognition. Otherwise, Q3, Q4, 60-70% of our revenue picks up in Q3, Q4.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
And just one last question, and that is, so the metro and the airport, can you give me an average on what typically the order sizes are for those, if I can?
At an average, the order size is 5 to 7 crores each.
Each, okay, right. Yeah, thank you so much. It's that was really detailed and great.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Abhinav Singh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my question is, with contracts spanning multiple geographies, how are you building project management and resource allocation capabilities to avoid bottlenecks?
Okay, so at present, I'll tell you the current situation and then I'll come to the answer. So we are working close to 60 construction projects right now. And all those are spread throughout the country, right from north to south and east to west. Okay. Now, at each of these offices, site offices, I would say we deploy a manpower of close to average 50, somewhere 22, depending on the size of the project and the complexity of the project. So we already have a strong presence in 27 to 28 states of India, including a few union territories. So India is already such a big geography to work with, where I think we have excelled, and we have a recruitment or talent acquisition team who is identifying talent internationally and domestically on a daily basis, and they are the best in the industry. Apart from this, for now, international sector, if it's a private sector, we have at our corporate office, we have 60 to 70 engineers who only monitor the projects that are going on in India, but each of them have projects going on worth 20,000 crore under them. in India itself, but they have a certain bandwidth to take up another 50-100 projects if given to them, because they are not actually deployed at site. So when it comes to design and engineering projects, I already have a big manpower present at my head office who will deliver the project. If it's a BMC assignment, then we tie up with local companies outside, local companies in that particular geography who takes care of the manpower and the resources.
Sir, do you have any other question?
Okay, that's all from my side. I'll join back in the queue. If I have more questions, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Dhruv Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Hello.
Yes, sir, please go ahead with your question. You're audible.
Okay. So, like, we have a significant exposure to the international project. So how do you plan to mitigate the foreign exchange, geopolitical and regulatory risk?
We have already announced last year that we have formed a subsidiary, a wholly owned subsidiary of Dhruv in UK, and all the international projects are being taken up from there. However, since the subsidiary was just opened last year in 2024 February, the bids that are submitted before that the transaction is happening through the Indian account itself. Wherever we get a project, we have to establish a branch office there and open a bank account as well. We are also operating through Gift City model, which has been announced by our Prime Minister, Honorable Prime Minister. So that actually takes care of all the foreign exchange and the transaction that is happening. In Mozambique, for example, the expenses are done then and there itself, and whatever remains as a profit then is transferred back to India. But since all these transactions are in US dollars and US, so increase in US dollar is actually a benefit for us.
Okay.
Yeah.
How are we safeguarding against delays in project execution, especially in international jurisdiction?
In Africa, there is political instability and all those things, but only way of mitigating that is funded projects, because we are going through Exim Bank or ADB or African Development Bank, World Bank. So they take care of our payments and not the local authorities. So that is how our payments are not stuck.
And we have recently secured our first sector project in Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
What is the broader strategy for Middle East market? Do we see any repeat business over there?
Yes. We all have heard in the news about Saudi Arabia's Vision 2030. There are a lot of industrial cities, industrial development that is happening in the entire Middle East. So we are in talks with 2 to 3 consultancy firms itself who can maybe give us a small portion at first. We start working in these industrial zones and slowly penetrate into larger highways. There is NEOM City projects also coming up where we are hopeful of getting empaneled also. So once that happens, then more flow of orders are expected, and we are expecting repeat business from the existing ones also.
And any other geographical regions where we are expanding? And like, what is the competitive advantage that we have in this market?
In Africa, I'll break it down into 3 geographical zones. In Africa, we have a huge competitive edge because they don't even have single lane roads right now. And in India, we are already working on 8-10 lane expressways. So Africa, the eligibility is not much of a big criteria. In Middle East, the efficiency requirement is double of that what is expected in India. Like, for example, the drawings that we prepare the design and drawings that we prepare are two-dimensional in India. But in Middle East and developed countries, even like UK and US, they expect 4D and 5D models. So at present, our entire design team is being trained and upgraded through a building information modeling environment to develop these 4D, 5D models, and we'll be ready to take up these assignments. So upgradation of software is happening to work in the Middle East. Similar is for the Southeast Asia, like Africa. There is not much infrastructure that is available because, again, these are developing or underdeveloped countries. So we, as an Indian consultant, so much development happening here in India itself, we definitely have an edge as far as the eligibility is concerned.
Okay. And what percentage of our current order book is from repeat clients? And how are we working to strengthen these long-term relationships?
Is from? Can you repeat your question?
Yeah, like what percentage of our current order book is from repeat clients, and how are we strengthening these relationships?
Yes, so our repeat business, 100% of our business is from repeat clients. Only I think this year we have added one in Saudi Arabia and MSIDC state government. Otherwise, I think 80-90%, 95% of our orders are from repeat business only. And we strengthen this by having a strong licensing base. Like I said, in Vietnam, we are Vietnam and in Saudi Arabia, we are in the process of appointing a business development team there to have a good relationship with these clients. And once, because although we are in this online era where meetings happen on Zoom and Zoom, etc., but face-to-face does make a difference. So we have deployed teams in Africa as well. Our team travels. We have people in Saudi Arabia, our associate partners. In Vietnam also, our CEO has recently visited there and had strong connections with the, developed good connections with the embassies, with the Chamber of Commerce that are there. And through this, now we are entering into the infrastructure market in these regions.
Okay. Like, with could you elaborate on the execution strategy for a large multi-year contract, like the hybrid annuity projects in Maharashtra and expressway consultancy?
So, whether it is a EPC, whether it is a HAM or a BOT, the role of consultant doesn't change much. Minorly it changes, but not much, because as a PMC consultant, if we are a DPR consultant, we suggest what mode of, what should be the mode of execution, whether what would be beneficial to the government. We have to think it from that point of view. But when we are working as an authority independent engineer, it doesn't make much difference, because we have to deploy manpower at the site, we have to deploy vehicles, we have to set up an office, we have to carry out surveys and everything. So our scope of work remains the same, whether it is a HAM or a BOT or a PPP project or a EPC project.
That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Aditi Roy, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. A very good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, my question is, we saw an 82% YOY surge in net profit with a 309 BPS margin expansion. So how sustainable are these margins going forward, considering potential cost pressures?
Yes. So we can expect further margin improvements going ahead. The main reason for this margin improvement is addition of private sector projects. In the past few years, or maybe 10 years, I think we have been working only with NHAI and MORS. Now, with the addition of a good client base, we are working with IRB, we are working with GR Infra, HCC, these big names as a consultant as well. So, with entry into the private sector market and international assignments, there can be further considerable improvement in the EBITDA margin.
And my next question is, our EBITDA margin have consistently improved. So what are your specific operational efficiencies or cost control measures contributed most to this improvement?
Yes. As far as cost control is concerned, last 1 year we have introduced SAP-based systems and ERPs, which further strengthened our internal control systems here. We have a strong team of internal auditors. Sorry. We have a strong team of internal auditors, as well as we have appointed joint auditors to further strengthen the internal control system. And through ERP and SAP, I think everything is being automated and integrated to each other.
Okay, ma'am. And I have one last question.
Yeah.
Our channel sales still have reduced significantly year on year. Can you please elaborate on debt reduction strategies or refinancing plans?
Finance cost, you are talking about finance cost, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so finance costs have been decreased for the reason that we did our preferential issue in the last financial year, and still those funds are there with us as FDs. So yes, we don't plan to use those FDs, and we plan to keep it for future bidding and business development in these international markets. So yes, we can expect further improvement as most of our loans have been closed in the last 3 to 4 months, and we don't plan to take any new debt at present.
One important thing happened. Hello?
Huh.
Am I audible?
Yes, yes, sir.
I am Chairman Dandavte. One important thing happened 1 month back. Ministry of Road Transport and Highways and also NHAI has come up with a option of using surety bonds in place of performance bank guarantees. This has changed the dynamics of our finances and economical cost. Bank guarantee, you all know, we have to first set up the bank guarantee limits with the banks, number one. We have to pay the margin money, sometimes it is 15%, sometimes it is 30%, now it is even as high as 50%. Thirdly, we have to give the collateral security. So in surety bond, all three things are not needed, only we have to pay the premium. So surety bonds will definitely reduce our finance cost, and we have now unlimited bidding capacity because of this instrument approved by the NHAI.
Do you have any other question, ma'am?
No, ma'am. Thank you. I'm on the way, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sakshi Shinde, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity. My question is, many of your projects span multiple years and involve multi-agency coordination. So, what operational practices or tools are in place to manage the complexity and ensure on-time delivery?
Yeah, so as far as our operations are concerned, we have four departments. First is the DPR or the DPR design department. So, where in DPR, whatever feasibility study assignments are coming in, we have a team of 7 to 8 engineers ranging from an experience of 15 years to 2 years. We have a PMC team led by 3 general managers and who are each of them have been divided into zones, north, south, east, west. So they are taking care of individually 15 to 20 projects under them. Then we have a highway design team and a structure design team who work on high-end software of CAD-enabled software, then Bentley open road software, then for structure design, there is Sophistic, there is Midas. So all these through all these softwares we are trying to introduce AI and building information modeling environment as well, which will now generate not only 2D, not only 3D, but 5D models, thereby increasing our efficiency and readiness for the international market. Apart from this, all these departments are integrated with the support departments like HR, finance, business development, so the ERP that is developed. So we get a real-time information of each and everything that is happening in the organization.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you. The next follow-up question comes from the line of Dhruv Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, we have a good track record. So, are we exploring any, government contracts at large scale? Hello?
Hello. Can you answer this, Chairman, sir? By large contracts, yes, there are. Presently, we have reached the tune of 25 CR, that is, we are doing in MSIDC. In Solapur district, there are 11 packages. So, government is now coming up with bundled packages rather than a 40-kilometer or a 50-kilometer project. They are giving a 200-300-kilometer package to one consultant. The eligibility criteria have been stringent, and we being an early entrant in this industry, we get an edge over all this. Right now, it is a H1 kind of a bidding that is H1 kind of a evaluation that is happening, wherein a technical score carries 80% weightage and financial carries 20%. Now, what NHI is doing is they are fixing up the cost, the bid cost for a per kilometer rate, which is at least 4 to 5 times of the present rate that we are working at. But the operational efficiency that they are expecting from us is also 10 times now from what we are doing at present. And with so many developments, software-wise and artificial intelligence coming in, we have that readiness and we do qualify for such large assignments as well. The first result of that being the 250-kilometer single DPR expressway project awarded to us by UPEDA from Jhansi and in Bundelkhand, Chitrakoot, passing through all these regions. It is an extension of the Ganga Expressway where we are already working as a PMC consultant.
Okay. And any strategic partnership or collaboration we are planning to accelerate growth?
For highway, I think we are going ahead. You must until now you must have seen that we are doing JVs as an association. But now Dhruv has reached a point where we qualify solely for any kind of highway project, and no joint venture or associations would be required. But for railways, metros, airports, ropeways, these sectors, we are going ahead as joint venture, either in a lead capacity or as a second partner. So but it won't take so much time that it took for highways, because there is very less competition here. And even with one or two projects being implemented in a JV, from third or fourth project, we can qualify solely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now where do you see Dhruv Consultancy in next, let's just say, 5-6 years?
So by 2030, we have kept two visions. By 2030, we see ourselves replicating the success that we've had in the highway sector to two other sectors. Railway has been given equal emphasis by the union budget. I think more emphasis has been given on railway, and there are a lot of opportunities and bidding happening there. Airports, there are 227 plus airports coming up. So by 2030, we are confident that we replicate this entire success of the highway sector into two more sectors by becoming one of the top two or three consultants for these sectors. And by 2050, we have a vision to become a global infrastructure consultant player wherein we have our presence in at least 8 regions of the world. We have our offices in at least 4 continents there, and with the main one being in India, we create more subsidiaries, we create more SPVs, we create more branch offices and become a global player, someone like AECOM Asia or AECOM who's working in Saudi, who's working in US also. So that's our vision.
That's all from my side. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next follow-up question comes from the line of Aditi Roy, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Ma'am, please go ahead with your question.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I have a couple of questions.
Yeah.
How do you balance a rapid international expansion with the need to maintain a strong and reliable domestic base?
For international, we have opened a subsidiary in the United Kingdom, in London, and we plan to operate our entire international operations from there. It's just been 1 year old, so maybe from next year onwards, the operations would actually start. At present, everything is being operated from our Indian office only. We have a team of 60 to 70 engineers at our head office who have the capability and the bandwidth to take up all these international assignments on their own.
Okay, ma'am. And I have one last question. Are there any plans to form strategic alliance or joint ventures with a global engineering or technology firm to accelerate scale and capability in new markets?
For international market, if it's a government project or a funded project, yes, we will form strategic alliances. But if it's a private sector, then we don't need any alliance to be formed because we have enough capability and eligibility to execute those assignments. But as far as the government projects are concerned, they have a criteria that foreign consultants can have a share of 40 to 50% in the assignment, and we have to hire local manpower there to the tune of 60%, so that job employment is generated in their own country.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions for the participant, I would now hand the conference over to Mr. Harshil Ghanshyani for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for joining the conference call. Consultant Services Limited. If you have any questions, you can write us at research@clearandadvisors.com. Once again, thank you, everyone, for joining the conference call.
Thank you. On behalf of Kiran Advisors Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.